Stego.
Stego. Stegos Auris. Stegos Auris.
You don't even know the words to my made-up song.
No, but you don't know the words to mine.
Right, let's hear you sing then, Stegos Auris.
No, I'm done. See, I just sang it, and that's the only time I'll sing. Except on the last mile, maybe.
Instead of the last mile. Well, yeah. Thank you for witnessing that. My name is Matthew McBarish. I'm the European Ambassador for Stop the Silence, Stop Child Sexual Abuse, and welcome to episode
22
of the Road to Change podcast, the 10,000 mile 23. Walk. 23?
I've got 22 here.
We've
put 22 in episode.
Oops. Right, this just in, Uncle Mojo says it's episode 23. I just don't know anymore. Right. I don't know where I am. I don't know what day it is. Yes, the Road to Change, 10,000 mile walk to stop the silence and stop child sexual abuse. We are in Slovenia. With me, as always, is everyone's favourite Viking, Stego MacGyver.
Stego, aye. I'm back. Last time was like a month ago.
I know. You've just been off round and about. And also in Yvonne, and it's by special request, Uncle Mojo!
Hello!
Hello!
Mojo's up there in the top bunk, me and Stego are down.
He just made us some food and now he's done. He's tired.
Yeah, he's going to have a lie down. Right. He's not stopped since he got here, as usual. Yeah. We're somewhere by the side of the road. We actually don't know. The internet's still not working.
Still not working, no.
Stego and I kept getting lost today. You know, you would think I could just use a regular old map, but we don't have one.
We don't have one.
So, thank you for tuning in once again. We are we're on our way to Geneva, which will be in Switzerland, country 26.
So on the road towards Geneva, we have to pass through Croatia, Slovenia, Italy, and then Geneva.
No. There's one
France,
more.
Yeah, France, and then Geneva. Yeah.
Have you ever been to France?
Aye, we drove past it with my grandpa once to Madrid. No, to
did you hear that Swedish person saying "aye" there? That's what happens when you live in a van with me. Yeah, well, actually, it was so strange to walk back into France because that was country number two over 12 months
ago. Almost country number one, really.
Well, yeah, well, England. London was city number one. We did events in London. That's where the whole thing began.
Yeah.
So it's been eventful. The road to change has been tricky the past couple of weeks because our internet provider has decided to abandon us, even though we're paying the bill. We've been on the phone 7 times now.
And I've been like 4 times as well.
Yeah, so. And they're trying to sort out the problem. I was trying to articulate to them as politely as possible that without GPS, the actual practical side of walking 30 miles a day is very tricky to coordinate between Stego and I. But also, you know, we're trying to coordinate events in Geneva, which is literally impossible without internet. So, yeah, but a little bit stressed. My shoulders are up around my ears, but what can I do? Keep walking. Hopefully, I'm walking in the right direction.
We're walking back on the same road that we walked with Vonda, though.
So. I know, this is so surreal because I have never done this in 14 months. I've never walked all the way back down a road where I already know what it looks like, because Randa and I walked from Ljubljana to Zagreb, and at the moment I'm walking back from Zagreb to Ljubljana just because...
Exact same road.
Well, I know, we shouldn't be on the exact same road, but because we don't have GPS, I'm just going to stick to this route because it's going to add about half a day, but at least I know, you know, roughly where I am. So hopefully that will get sorted. But Stego, where have you been?
I was so I don't want to talk bad about Italy or anything, but I spent 3 months there.
Yeah.
So, I just needed to get away for a bit, so I took some money from my birthday. And I flew to Prague for a weekend to visit my girlfriend. And I'm refreshed now and I'm back.
Yeah, you got a wee spring back in your step. So yeah, we had a long Stego had a long 3 months in Italy.
Yeah.
As much as Italy is a beautiful country with lovely people, for the road to change it was a really difficult country to cross. And I think, you know, the fact that the shops are closed all day when everyone's having a wee sleep is great. But when you're walking 30 miles a day in direct sunlight, we need a shop to open so we can get some water. Those kind of things, day after day, become a bit stressful. So we Stego jumped on a plane and went to see.
Yeah, but it was also the first like vacation. I don't know what you could call it in like since October.
Yeah. So Stego, I mean,
it was actually 9 months.
You and Amanda.
No, and it was 10 months. Yeah.
You're volunteering for the project.
Yeah.
You know, we're not in a position to pay you any money. You're just here for the sheer fun of it.
The fun of it. Yeah.
So, yep. So, obviously, you guys deserve more than a wee weekend off when possible. So, what did you do in Prague?
Oh, we had so much fun. It was a bit surreal though to see it in the summer because we spent Christmas and New Year's there.
Yeah.
And it was just strange to see a fly back. So, but it was lovely. We had a great time, Laura and I.
I can't remember what it was. It was Prague City number 14 or something, back when it was...
Yeah, 14, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's nice.
Well, that was nice. And then, yeah, I'll see her in Lisbon. So.
In Lisbon?
Lisbon.
Portugal.
Yeah.
Happy days. Well, what have I been doing? I've been trying to organise all the...
Yeah, you've been quite busy.
Yeah, basically walking every day, all day, but also trying to prepare stuff that we're going to be presenting in Geneva to various people. I don't want to say too much about it at this stage, but obviously Geneva is not in the EU, but it does house certain organisations and institutions that have influence internationally. And the Road to Change is an awareness project, first and foremost, but after that, we have three agendas which we are trying to achieve. One of them is awareness, one of them is political, and one of them is strategic, kind of trying to encourage networking within NGOs. So the political part of it is going to come into play. We're going to be presenting the stuff that I've been able to observe in the past 25 countries and how the child sexual abuse is or isn't dealt with across this beautiful continent. So hopefully that will be significant in some way to the people that we meet there. But yeah, it's been a bit of a whirlwind a few weeks, and it's been bizarre to be so detached from, because Road to Change for me, half of it exists online. I mean, half of it's standing in the rain, and half of it
absolutely
is letting people know what we're doing and where we are and what we're achieving. And that whole half of it has been gone recently because we couldn't really communicate with people. How do you do an awareness project when you can't can't communicate? So that's been frustrating. But so just to give you the highlights, Zagreb was a really busy week. Croatia surprised me. And in many ways, they have fantastic services, very, very developed procedures for addressing child sexual abuse. But having said that, even though they do have more advanced systems than some countries I've been to, the systems that they do have in place are not as utilised as they could be, certainly not as utilised in relation to the scale of the problem that exists in a country of over, what was about 4 or 5 million people there?
I'm not sure. I can't tell
you. Well, anyway... I met some wonderful organisations there. I met Brave Telephone, which is like the Croatian child line for kids who are in trouble in any way. They can call up and get support and advice. I went to the Zagreb clinic for to address abused children. Excellent facilities. They have a specialised room there for interviewing children in the legal process. And they told me that on average it's used once a year. So in 10 years of this facility, which is an expensive facility, and the forensic psychologist who interviews the child is highly trained, and that training is expensive, and they have these things in place, but one child a year, I don't think, represents the scale of the problem. So a step forward, but in some ways, a bit of a strange hiatus kind of exists in there, but that's not unique to Croatia. I would say that's similar in a lot of countries, but some countries I've been to didn't even have the specialised room established yet. They were just talking about bringing one in. But, Randa and Cody, they flew home.
They flew home. And I missed them by the weekend there, because I flew out on Friday and they left on the Monday and I came back on the Tuesday.
You just missed them. Well, I mean, you spent all
week. Yeah, I spent a week with them,
Well, I think they had... A memorable experience. I really miss walking with Randa. It's so weird to be walking back down the same roads that she and I walked down for a week, and I keep seeing things and remembering what she and I were talking about when we were at this point.
Yeah.
Like right now where we're sitting, there's a statue outside of a Soviet soldier.
Yeah.
And I remember Randa said, "Take a picture of me next to the soldier. He's right outside right now where we're sitting." He's got the red star on his hat. Yeah. So, and what else has been going on? We had a friend of mine, Cara, and her partner Monique were visiting Croatia for the holiday, and it was just lovely to hear some Scottish voices and chat about the referendum all week. That was fun for me. I don't know how much fun it was for you.
3 days until the referendum.
Until the referendum. It's getting exciting, folks. And my boyfriend Sigur, he visited for the weekend just for a couple of days, because Zagreb isn't actually too far from Budapest.
It's only a train ride.
Just a train ride. Yeah. So there was lots of people visiting, but that didn't get in the way of the what Road to Change has to do. We were on television on five different channels.
Five different ones, yeah.
In Croatia, we were also broadcast in Bosnia and Serbia, which is two whole audiences that Road to Change won't be walking to, because I walk within the EU. But of course, excellent opportunity to raise awareness of the same issue that exists in those countries. We were also in a lot of newspapers and a particular news portal which is specialised in human rights. So when that gets online, I'll be posting that about. That's pretty exciting for Road to Change and for general things. What else did we do? It was a bit of a whirlwind there for a couple of weeks. So it feels like just, literally getting back on the road, trying to get back up to my pace. Walking 45, 50 a day.
You missed out someone this morning, though, because you took the wrong turn.
I took a wrong turn today because...
After 2 hours, you'd only walked 8 kilometres.
8 kilometres. Well, I thought I was... Well, I'd walked more than that, in the direction I thought it was. Because these are the literal things. Like, even though Randy and I walked in these roads...
It's so hard to remember.
I remember 90% of it. It's just that I'm coming at it from the other side.
Some turns, and you go coming from that way.
Yeah.
It's hard.
So, I took a wrong turn this morning. That cost me about, 3 kilometres, and cost me about half an hour's walking to get back on track. And that's so frustrating because I'm trying to walk literally 1,000 kilometres from Zagreb to Geneva across the Alps. I don't have time to be making mistakes, and without GPS, I'm relying on instinct to know how to walk across five countries and get there on time. I literally walk every step. I'm going to walk every single step from the centre of Zagreb to the centre of Geneva in the same way we've walked every single step from one city to another. People amaze me in the way that they think at some point I jump in the van. They might be confused because we obviously flew to Cyprus and we flew to Malta, but I walked from the centre of Rome to the airport in Rome. I walked through the airport onto the plane and I sat down, and when the plane landed in Cyprus, I stood up from the same seat, walked through the airport, walked from Larnaca to Nicosia was about 50 kilometres. So as much as it's physically possible, I've walked around 25 countries since the leaving London South Bank, every single step. And it's frustrating because when I looked into it, the Guinness Book of Records wouldn't recognise this event because it's for charity. So I'm not doing it for any world record. I'm not doing it for any athletic achievement. It's purely because, we're trying to raise awareness. And what would be the point in jumping in the van at this stage? You know what I mean?
No.
So
you've never done that. I mean, even when you go out in the morning, if we had to drive out to find somewhere safe to park in the night before, you always go out and you always touch the thing that you touched it last night as well, and then you stop from that, and it's always like that.
It's literally the exact same spot that we stop at one night, we start at the next morning. It's the very same spot. And but I guess the annoying thing is, we met a guy in Zagreb, and Randa said, "This is Matthew, he's walked here from London," and his words were, "Oh, I'll believe that when I see it." And I'm like, "Well, I can't really show it to you." It's like, unless you want to follow me and I'll prove it to you. But again, because the Guinness World Record isn't recording this, then I guess I'm just doing it for my own integrity. I'm doing it for my own sanity. Because if I miss, if I was to miss a part of the journey for the rest of my life, it would annoy me that I missed part of it. So I've got, 4 months until we're back in the UK?
And then 4 months, almost exactly.
Yeah, and then another 6 weeks or something till we reach Edinburgh. So about 6 months left. Where was I this time last year, Stiggle? Do you remember? You don't know. I hadn't met you yet.
August
16th was the day I walked into Berlin with Dr. King.
Yeah.
So, no, actually, I arrived a day early. So last night was the night I walked into Berlin last year. And we Road to Change had a really cool week there. Yvonne, her tyre burst, and I had a week of trying to get the tyre changed. Just one tyre.
Yeah.
And we also...
Sorry.
Road to Change met the German Minister of Families. We were in German newspapers. We met the German Innocents in Danger, who are the incredible, one of the four partners on Road to Change. They do incredible work training institutions and training schools for the prevention of child sexual abuse. Also, I remember I went to the Berlin Metropolitan School, which is like the international school, so about 60% of the kids spoke English.
Wow.
And their teacher said, this is Matthew, he's walked here from London. And the kids looked at me, and I remember they looked a bit disappointed, thinking, you know, if you just walked here from London, surely you would be lying on the floor panting, like exhausted. But yeah, I was standing there, and they asked me, how did you walk from England to France? Which is so frustrating, you know, because obviously you can't physically walk from the border of England to France. You walked on the boat and walked off the boat. But then one little girl said, are you Jesus? Which I thought was an imaginative solution, but no, I'm not. And the whole week I was in Berlin, I was looking for the next driver, because Dr. King of the Aerial Foundation, she had driven Yvonne behind me from Amsterdam to Berlin, and then the night that we got there, the next morning, she went back to her home. And so I interviewed two people who were really nice, but their license, driving license didn't correspond.
One was from Australia.
Yeah, Mikey. Really nice guy. He was like a child's defence lawyer or something. Really nice guy. Really wanted to spend a week talking to him. But his licence was Australian, and it wasn't. It was for an automatic vehicle, and Yvonne is far from fancy.
Far from fancy.
The other guy, I think his name was Alberto. He was Italian.
Yeah,
he lived in Berlin. And he pulled out when he realised that we couldn't actually, you know, we'd pay for his travel and pay for his food, but we couldn't pay him to be the follow driver. And it was only, we're only asking him to do it to from Berlin to Copenhagen. But our saviour was Ashton, who'd just moved to Berlin from United States, from Maryland. She lives in Berlin with her partner Eugene from Ireland, and her dog Tembo. Tembo is...
I've seen a few pictures of him.
Is African for elephant, because one of the African, like, I think it was Tanzanian. So because this dog had these fantastic big ears, so they called him Elephant. But she followed me and Yvonne for an eventful week from Berlin up to the north of Germany, on and off the boat to Denmark, and then for 3 days walking through Denmark to Copenhagen. And it was great fun. That was a year ago.
It's insane.
That's insane, yeah.
See, when we reached Zagreb, that was 10 months. That was on the exact day that I started.
10 months of Stego. Yeah. So it's nearly a year since Stego came on the game. Well, after Ashton was Ali, so we'll talk about Ali next week.
Next week?
Or is it in 2 weeks that Ali came out, when I'd done the week in Copenhagen, and then Ali appeared on the scene. So what else has been going on, Stego? It's been...
Lovely Rhonda gave us money for some new tyres.
She did.
And that was well lucky that she did.
So what happened with the mechanics?
Right, see, I was... the day we reached Zagreb, the steering wheel started to wobble. I mean, it was quite a lot of vibrations, and I was wondering what it could be. I wasn't sure, so I was like, it doesn't seem right. So I tried to put in some more steering fluid, but it didn't help. And I was like, all right, well, so the last day, the day we started to walk towards, well, Geneva, we had to find we had already planned to go and get some new tires, so Moj and I drove there, and it was quite hard to get them to help us, because they didn't speak English at all, really, and luckily this guy comes up and he starts talking to us, and he's like, do you speak English? And we said, yes. And he had excellent English. It was really good. And then we asked him if he could help us translate, and he did. And it turns out they could fix the tires, and we had to wait for an hour or something. And then he was wondering what we were doing, and I explained it to him. And so he said, And I said, oh, yeah, so it's stop the silence, stop child sexual abuse. And he said, oh, so I have to stop molesting children now. I was like, yes, please.
that is mental.
Why would he even say that? I mean, then, yeah.
Well, do you think he was kidding?
Yeah, hopefully. I'm not sure. We're not sure.
Brenda said was something that in the United States, every 20th person becomes a paedophile.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that means they become a child sex offender, because there is a obviously an important difference.
Yeah, that was a bit strange, but then it was a bit weird, but it was quite nice. And I guess, I'm not sure.
That's bizarre.
Anyway.
I mean, but people do have a very dark sense of humour about this issue.
I think
it's sometimes in order to survive, you have to find the humour in the darkest of periods.
Yeah.
And I know I've laughed at some of the crazy stuff.
Maybe he's been abused when he was a kid, I'm not sure.
Well, you never know. But.
But anyway, so we had to wait for an hour, and then we started to take off the tires, and then once they got to the right front tire, he took it off and he looked at the tire, and then he looked at me, and then he shook his head, and then he laughed at it, and then he pointed at the tire, and turns out it was about a few kilometers away from driving away from exploding. Yeah. So
it could have been a disaster.
Yes,
Randa saved us. She gave us some money.
We were supposed to have sent some pictures around as well, but we haven't had any.
We haven't had the internet, Randa, to send you pictures of the lovely tires that you've provided. But
it's like a new van. It's like a new van.
Yeah. We didn't realize how bad the tires were, and literally the mechanic was laughing at us. But we were within hours, apparently, of a serious accident. So you saved us from that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I mean, really, we don't know what could have happened there. The next thing is, we're going to have to work out everyone's
van insurance
is due on the 1st of September. And
it's easy to pay it, but we need the proper papers for it, the real papers in hand.
Well, we need to figure out how we're going to pay it, literally. But it's because, we have multiple drivers, like all these volunteers. Yvonne's van insurance is like €1,000 or something. I mean, we'll get there somehow. We'll figure it out.
Absolutely. We come so this far, so...
We are existing on the kindness of so many people. I mean, literally, I had such a phenomenal last day in Croatia, where three people ran up to me.
Yeah.
The first one was that girl who chased me and gave me money, and she'd seen Road to Change on television and just felt compelled, she said, in any way she could to contribute to the cause. Bless her. And then the Igor, the guy who was the... This
Croatian
Tartan Army Croatia.
Yeah.
I didn't know Tartan Army. I thought the Tartan Army was the Scottish guys who go abroad. I didn't know they were already abroad. There's the Tartan Army everywhere. Lovely, lovely guy. Just drove up. I was going to say dragged me into a pub, but it wasn't much dragging involved. It was just coming for a pint.
It was funny when I got that message from you. I was like, alright.
But he was lovely, and then. And then that guy who circled in the car a few times and then eventually shouted, "We support you." And I'll be honest, I shat myself when he did. He got right next to me and shouted. And I thought, oh, right, thank you. But then that's the thing that makes that so exciting, because I was walking through very rural Croatia. And when Rand and I walked through there, although everyone was lovely and polite when we met them, there was no reaction from people. And then we do national press, television... and then when I'm walking out of the country, there you go, three random people in the public run at us and engage with us. And, you know, they're aware of the project, they're aware of the issue, and they feel compelled to engage with it. And that's exactly why we walk instead of just flying to all these cities and trying to raise awareness. Because we now know that, you know, there's a massive percentage of the population who have at least heard that every fifth child will be sexually abused. You know, one in four girls, one in six boys. And sometimes, you know, just that piece of information is not even shared, you know. So getting that first point across is so essential. So it's nice when we these things happen, because it's nice when someone buys you a pint. But it's also nice because we know that the project's working. We know that the awareness aspect is definitely reaching people. Yeah, people that we hadn't previously heard of these issues, perhaps, in some cases.
Mm.
So that was good. What else is... There was a guy yesterday, actually, who drove up beside me, and this is... It was probably very sweet what he was trying. He saw me, stopped his car, and said, "Where are you going?" And I said, "Geneva." And I'm standing in Slovenia. "Where are you going?" I said, "Geneva." And he said, "Where do you sleep?" And his English was better than my Slovenian. Let's say.
I know one word.
So he said, "Where do you sleep?" And I said, "I sleep in a vehicle. My colleagues are in the vehicle, and they are 15 kilometers ahead." And he said, "Come and sleep with me." And I laughed, and then he said, "You can sleep with me, you can eat with me." And it was a very kind offer, but I was like,
"You had to turn that down."
You know, it would be impolite to do so. Bless him. But I mean, again, the Slovenian people just approaching us and asking. I mean, I don't think that guy knew what I was doing. I had to show him the flyer. I'd never heard of Road to Change, so he was just, you know, he'd missed the telly.
Yeah.
But he was just, again, it was just the Slavic nations are so kind and so genuine, the people. And there's some guy wandering down the road and they say, "Do you need food? Do you need somewhere to stay?" You know, that's wonderful. And so, that's the kind of thing that we rely on sometimes, literally. But, I started to think if there's anything I need to report. I've just been so in my head trying to prepare these presentations, but also trying to catch up on the walking. I mean, this is 1,000 kilometres this time, and it's across the Alps. Just across the Alps.
Just across the Alps.
And also not being able to get online and communicate properly with the embassies and stuff has been a bit stressful. So I'm probably forgetting something. Have we got a new look of the week, Stego?
Well, I would say that the phones are not working.
The phones are working. You can
call me. But I mean, internet. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. I'll let this one go to me. I nominate myself.
Okay. What happened to you?
it was the first night on the road from Croatia. And then we crossed the border, and then we had to drive 40 kilometers to go to the campsite. And once we got to the campsite, it started pouring down. I mean, it was just raining cats and dogs, so to say. It was thunderstorms and stuff. So I decided to... I knew the tent was supposed to be rainproof. It did say that on the label.
Well, Yvonne's not rainproof, so you thought you'd sleep outside in a tent.
Yeah. So I went into the tent, and I was laying down, and it was quite nice. And I heard the rain dripping on the tent, and then I reached out and I felt some puddles of water on the floor, and I thought, all right, well, and then I drifted off to sleep, and then I woke up from a lightning.
From a thunderclap,
yeah. And I woke up. Got so scared, I shot myself. So I fell over from the air mattress into the puddle of water, and then I was wet. So that was my.
So were you actually asleep when that happened?
Yeah.
So there was a big thunderclap. You're asleep in your tent. You jump up and land in a puddle.
Yeah.
Well, luck. Was it dark? What time was
it? Probably. I don't know. It was late at night.
That's no luck, Stego.
No luck.
That's rubbish.
Then I slept two nights after that in the tent, and it wasn't raining. So.
It wasn't raining. I know, it rained immensely the other night there. And
luckily, it wasn't raining that much. It wasn't leaking so much in the van.
No. The water kind of collects on the roof, and then when you move, it kind of falls through.
No.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we need to fix that now. But we need it to be a bit sunnier.
I don't know if it's going to get any sunnier. I don't know if it's just we're up in the mountains.
Yeah.
Have we got a general? I think there's more Nalux. It's just been. it's been a bit Nalux-tastic recently, but. I think the fact that I got lost, I don't know where I'm going. I'm kind of running on memory and instinct, really, and the kindness of strangers pointing me in the right way. It's. Why does it feel like I'm running out of time, even though. You know, we time the Road to Change really carefully so that I know that how long it's going to take.
I don't know. I think it feels... It's 4 months until we get to UK, like...
Yeah, I know, but I've still got, like, 5,000 kilometres to walk.
And we have so much to walk, and...
6,000.
Yeah, and it just feels... feels so short. It doesn't feel like it's enough time. I don't know. It's just strange.
And I need to sit and add it up because I've walked somewhere in the next couple of days. I'm going to cross the 10,000 kilometre mark.
6,000 miles.
6,000 miles. And it's somewhere in the next couple of days, but I need to sit and figure it out and add it up. We kind of keep track as we go, but we just kind of add it up city by city. And then I've got, after that, I've still got it's not exactly 16,000 kilometres. It's probably just going to be slightly under 10,000 miles when I get to Edinburgh, which will be a shame because I'll just want to keep walking until it is exactly 10,000 miles, but what would be the point? it's strange at the moment because I'm not overwhelmed, but right now I want to go to sleep and I can't because I've still got another 15 kilometers to walk today, and then when I stop tonight I've got a bunch of admin and
you were up quite late last night.
Trying to read the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, which is a massive document drawn up in 1989 that every country in the world signed apart from the United States and Somalia, I think. And then I'm also trying to read the Lanzarote Convention, which was from 2007, but that's like the Council of Europe, so that applies to like 47, 48 countries. Mm-hmm. And just so I can understand these things, and I look at them and I'm like, I'm an actor. Can I go back to CBeebies, please? Look at this stuff. Like, how is anyone supposed to understand this? Exactly. Yeah. I just want to make a cheese toastie and dance. It's like, but I'm trying
that's
to...
That's your way to work.
I'm trying to, but I mean, having said that, just from... having walked through 26 countries and have 25 countries, and having met, I think, maybe even thousands of survivors at this stage, if not many hundreds, I've been able to observe certain things that I'll be able to explain to certain people. But trying to wrap that in an official, researchy way is, I hope, not beyond me. But at the moment, a lot to think about, as well as trying to walk 30 mile a day when you don't know exactly where you're going. Nay luck. Poor me.
Poor you.
Nobody asked me to do this. It's my fault. Right, I'm going to have to go because it's going to get dark soon. So I've got 3 hours. I'll just get trekking. Right, you lot, thank you so much for listening to our banal ramblings. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you guys. Pretty much anyone listening to the podcast is someone who understands the road to change and already supports us. And literally, every single one of you, your support is appreciated. Because, you know, when we all work together, what we've seen is we can actually affect real change, and that does impact directly on the lives of, in some cases, millions of people. And you're part of that. So thank you for being with us on this mental journey. The Road to Change is a project organised and supported by Stop the Silence, Stop Child Sexual Abuse, the international organisation based in Washington DC. Check out stopthesilence.org, in partnership with the Moira Anderson Foundation, who are an incredible organisation based in Airdrie in Scotland. If you're a survivor in the UK, you can call them and they'll help you find services in your area, or if you're in Scotland, they can give you legal advice, counselling, therapy. They're phenomenal. So go to moiraanderson.org and learn more about their work. And if you want to support the Road to Change, very simply go to roadtochange.eu. This podcast that you're listening to will be there for all time. And there'll also be the route that you can look at various ways to check out what we're doing. I need to catch up on the blogs. I'm keeping notes as I go, but...
When was the last blog you did?
Oh, it was Vienna. Yeah. So I've got like 40 countries to write, and literally, on top of everything else, am I supposed to write a blog?
No, it takes you ages to write one, because
I'm a writer, and I'm a perfectionist, and perfectionists are time wasters. I should just put the bullet points of what happened, but that's what we do on the podcast, so what's the difference? Any final thoughts, Stiggle?
We'll you spoke through 5 countries, and then we'll see you in Geneva.
Yeah. Uncle Mojo
is asleep.
Yeah. And I'll just say, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.